Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, Lord God, we bow before your throne. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you this afternoon. Good afternoon and blessings to all. This is Apostle Deborah Ramos of Food for the Journey International Ministry. Welcome you to our afternoon teaching. Glory to God. We just thank God that we're back on the air again, and we have a topic. I know this topic is not going to fit right with everyone, but we thank God that we do our teachings according to the Holy Spirit. So before we get into our teaching today, let us just pray, open up in prayer, because we know prayer changes everything. Father God, we just thank you. We come before you, Father God, to sit at your feet. Holy Spirit, the Bible says that you are our teacher, that you would teach us, that you would instruct us, and that you would guide us with your eyes. So we come to study. We want to learn. We want to learn. We want to understand the things of the Spirit. So, Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over these lines. I take authority over these lines in the name of Jesus. I bind and rebuke and overturn every plot and plan of the devil in the name of Jesus. I come against every witch, warlock, wizard, anyone on the line. Father God, I bind and rebuke them in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus. I invoke the blood of Jesus. I cancel, veto, overturn the plots and plans, Father God. I come against backlash, retaliation, and revenge. I pray, God, that this teaching will help somebody to be set free, Father God. I pray today, God, that this teaching, that they will get revelation knowledge, Father God, that your people will understand that the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm, Father God. And Father God, that we're dealing with an enemy, Father God, that is eons of, but Father God, we thank you that through you and by you, Lord God, we run through walls and leap over walls and run through troops. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that we read the end of the book, Father, and we know that we win in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we say, have your way. Let us decrease as you increase. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Father God, so that we can wage an effective warfare in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about, if anyone knows my ministry and follow my ministry, you would know that Food for the Journey International Ministries is a deliverance and healing ministry. We specialize in healing and deliverance. We are not afraid to deal with the enemy. Because we know who we are in Christ Jesus. So today we're going to talk about this thing. You know, I've been looking and seeing, you know, for many years and seeing what's going on in this world concerning our young people and even the black race. And we have to understand that the spiritual realm, whatever has happened in the spiritual realm, takes place in the natural. It manifests in the natural realm. So we want to talk about breaking the curse of Willie Lynch. Who is Willie Lynch? Who is this Willie Lynch? We're going to talk about in this teaching, and this is part one. Hopefully we can get through it. And we're going to talk about Willie Lynch. Who is Willie Lynch? We're going to talk about human trafficking, because we have to understand that Willie Lynch was a slave owner. Yes, he was a slave owner. And so we want to understand. So let's deal with what is human trafficking. Human trafficking is the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of a person by threat or use of force, fraud, deception, or coercion, or the giving or receiving of unlawful payment for the purpose of sexual exploitation or forced labor. A trafficking victim then is someone who is being threatened, deceived, and or coerced for the benefit of another. And we know that down through history, millions and millions of people have been put in slave. Millions and millions of black people have been enslaved. They have been trafficked. Trafficking is the transportation. So first of all, let's understand that these people that were put in slavery, they was transferred from their homeland to America, as well as to other islands and other countries as well. But they were taken from their homeland and transported to another place. And the reason was, they were taken by threat and by force. Some of them was even deceived. And it was not just for the sexual exploitation, but it was for forced labor. So we're going to get into this teaching about Willie Lynch, because this teaching, we want to break the curse of Willie Lynch. Also, we need to understand as Christians, what does the Bible say about slavery? Does the Bible condone slavery? How many of you know the answer to that? Does the Bible condone slavery? Does it promote it? So we're going to find out what the Bible really says concerning slavery. This topic is filled with so much confusion and many lies. And so we're going to delve into this so we can understand, because how many of you know that we are in a warfare and we need to wage an effective warfare? Many of us see countless numbers of black men in prison, countless numbers of minorities in prison, because it wasn't just black people that was enslaved. There were other cultures and other ethnic groups that were enslaved, taken, transported from one place to another. Trafficking. We see trafficking in the news today as something like, wow, these people are being trafficked. But if you would read this holy scripture, you would know from the beginning that people were trafficking. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that Satan was trafficking. The Bible says that Satan was trafficking. And because of his trafficking, he lifted himself up and thought that he was something great. But Satan was trafficking. My God. So we have to understand that trafficking is ancient. Even before the world, because he was doing that before Adam and Eve. Understand that. So we see that the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm. But listen what the Bible says in Romans 8:6. Carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. In other words, you need, in order to have peace of mind, you need to be spiritual minded. You need to see things from a spiritual standpoint and understand that though you may not see it, there's a real enemy that's waging war against you and your family, against you. Every day in and day out, can I tell you, the devil does not get tired. We get tired. And one of the scriptures says that the devil desires to wear out the saints, so we have to be careful. So understand, if you walk as a natural man in the days that we're living in, you're going to die because the enemy is going to overtake you. You must be spiritual minded, and you must understand the reality of a real enemy, and that the enemy has... Let me explain something to you. This devil that we're talking about, and I want to go over to this scripture because the Holy Ghost is giving me this scripture. I want us to understand, because many people don't understand, why was the black race put in slavery? Why? Why? This is the question. They don't understand. Where was God in all this? Why did he allow that? We have to understand that the enemy... it's been about his game from the beginning of time. His game, he has been at his game a long time. The game that he plays is to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John 10:10. We must get the revelation of the battle that we are engaged in. Understand that there are doors and gates. Understand that there are altars in place. All the type of things that are in the spiritual realm, though the naked eye cannot see it, doesn't make it any less real. It is very real. We have to, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we need to look at this subject. As we go deep in this subject, we have to see it through the light of God's word, not what we think and feel, not even so much to believe the history books, even though history books pointed, but we got to understand that it was a real battle going on. Hallelujah. Understand, God didn't decide to allow us to go into slavery. God does not just do that. God did not turn his back on the black people. God did not do that. We have to understand that there is a reason. There is a reason. In Proverbs 26:2, it says, like the sparrow in her wandering, like the swallow in her flying, so the curse without a cause does not come, and a light on undeserving. Listen to that. In other words, if a curse is upon a person, it is not for no reason. There must have been a reason for a curse to come upon the people and for that many people to be taken into slavery, to be mistreated. It had to be open doors. There had to be an evil altar set up because of something someone did. So let us go over this afternoon. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to go over to Lamentations 5:7. We have to understand what is a curse. So what is a curse? It is evil or misfortune that comes as in response to or as a retribution. In other words, a curse is a payment for something that was done. A curse is a payment for sin and iniquity according to the Bible. A curse lands on a person. A curse lands on a city, a nation, or a people because of sin. Sin is rebellion, but iniquity is the love of that sin. It is practiced over and over. Iniquity is the characteristic of that sin. In other words, that sin becomes a part of that city, nation, or person, and that's when the curse, it opens the door to curses. We got to understand. So Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. Verse, there is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Now, we know that this is talking about, at that time, the nation of Israel. But many people understand clearly in Scripture, let you know that you can pay for the sins of your forefathers. We can pay for the sins of our forefathers. So, in other words, in order for that vast amount of people to go into slavery, something must have happened to allow the hedge around a people to be lifted so that that many people can go into slavery. Glory to God. So we need to understand this thing. So let us start in, who is this Willie Lynch? Well, some people say that Willie Lynch is not a real person, but that doesn't matter, because if he's not a real person, the curse has still been placed on people. Willie Lynch wrote a letter about African American slave experience. There have been various schools of thought about the authenticity of his letter, written back in 1712. For several decades, many people have contended that it's not real. But let us go through back and look back at history, the historical background about Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch refers to a speech that was given by a slave owner. Now, Willie Lynch traveled from British West Indies to hold a summit at the banks of the James River in Virginia. He traveled from his native land to America, to Virginia, where he taught white slave owners how to repress black slaves. Now, Willie Lynch's letter refers to a speech that this so-called supposedly man had given to a group of white slave owners. He wanted to give them in detail how to keep their slaves in check. He used devices, psychological means. In other words, he used guerrilla warfare. He used psychological warfare on the slaves. My God. Now, supposedly Willie Lynch is a white Jamaican slave owner from the 18th century. Black slaves were said to be rebellious and they were getting out of hand. So they were asking for help, and evidently someone knew Willie Lynch. And so he came with a strategy for the white slave owners in America. He wanted to teach them how to stop their slaves from being rebellious. Understand, this is a spiritual thing we're talking about. Though it played out in the natural, it was a satanic, demonic plot of the devil to suppress a group of people. My God. So black slaves, according to white slave owners, were rebellious and they would fight for their freedom at all costs. In other words, the slaves was willing to die for their freedom. My God, how many of you are willing to die for your freedom today? If you're in any type of bondage, are you willing to do that battle to be free? Or are you okay being in bondage? I'm just taking a rabbit trail, because I know that there are many people in spiritual bondage, though they appear to be free. But in the spiritual realm, they in bondage to marine spirits, to all type of spirits, to Leviathan and octopus, all these spirits from the marine kingdom have many people in spiritual bondage, though you see them walking around. My God. Glory to God. So we see that these black people, these African American, these slaves that were trafficked, brought over, drug over against their will. As a matter of fact, as they was, let me tell you something. People don't understand it. Do you? I'm here in Florida, and when a and we know that we have hurricane season here in Florida. But I want you to understand how deep this is. Every hurricane that comes through Florida rolls off the coast of Africa. Do you notice that they roll off the coast of Africa? Understand, those are demons. We have to understand, as the slave traders, the slaves were being brought across the waters, they were cursing the waters. That's why when a hurricane comes up, it's the assignment. It's a spirit of to destruction. And many times when you look at the hurricanes, you can see a face, you can see an eye, you can see. Understand, these are demons. Every hurricane that comes to the east of Florida rolls off to the coast of Africa. This is a spiritual battle, because these people were so grieved. They were so hurt. They were so fearful of what to expect that was coming. And have to understand, they took millions of people as slaves, but half their cargo, as they called it, died. Their bodies were tossed in the water. My God, this is deep. Willie Lynch therefore wrote a letter, and he called it a how-to guide to create division and psychological warfare in the black slave community to keep them under control. Demons, understand this was this. Understand that though Willie Lynch, I believe, was a real person, the way that many whites during that time hated black people. And they wanted to keep the slaves because they were lazy and they didn't want to do the work themselves. They wanted someone to work and make them money. And so I believe that he was a real person. But he used psychological warfare and to keep slaves under control. It wasn't so much as that they, and though they beat him, and they did beat the slaves, and they did torture the slaves, and they did rape and kill them. But his advice was to use psychological warfare. Lynch used fear, distrust, envy, beatings, and even went as far as murdering the males in front of the women and their children for controlling the minds of the slaves. They used brute force, psychological warfare, in order to keep them from even wanting to be free. My God. We have to understand this. I want you to understand, I'm not teaching this to teach hatred of any race of people. I want to deal with the curse of Willie Lynch. I want to break this mentality off of our people, off of our young people, off of men and women, to understand that this thing happened because of sin. Because of rebellion against God. And look at the repercussion. There were altars that was put in place that are still speaking today that must be broken. This curse must be broken off of our young people. They have to stop going to jail. We have to stop seeing young women by themselves raising children. We have to stop seeing young men lay down with a girl and make a baby and leave her to raise the baby. We have to stop having young men to have no paternal attachment to their children because of this mentality. Understand, these are demons that are playing, that are acting out in our young people, and it's jumping from person to person. Understand that this was taught. See, understand, our children are dealing with things, as Lamentation said. Let's go back to that scripture again, because this is powerful what the Holy Ghost is saying. He wants you to know, our fathers sin and are no more. In other words, they have died. But we bear their iniquity. We bear the patterns that they produce from the sins that they commit. And that's why servants rule over us. Understand, this is why black people don't trust each other. They were taught these demons. Doors and gates was open and these demons came in. So that's why I remember as a young woman, I would hear people say that black people is the only one who don't look out for each other. The black race is the only one don't trust each other. The black race is only the only one that's like crabs in a barrel climbing out over one another. Understand, this is a curse. My God. So he used, as I said, he even murdered the young males in front of their women and children. He went on to say that slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, they indoctrinated these people. He said after receiving this indoctrination, they would carry on and would be self-refueling, self-defeating. That they, in other words, he was saying, after he indoctrinated them with all this that he was putting into their head, that they will self-destruct. They will become their own worst enemy to their families, to themselves. My God, this is the plan of Satan. Satan, understand that this was more than just witches and water. This was a satanic agenda playing out in a race of people, in a culture of people. He said he would cause them to be self-defeating ideas in their mind. He would cause them to have falsehood. He said that the idea or statement whose falsehood, he said he would cause them to think that the lie to be a truth. Who does that but Satan? He said he would cause them to think the falsehood to be actually logical and truthful when in actuality it was a lie. In other words, when he told them they would never be nobody, they good for nothing, they just animals, he would brainwash them so much that they began to think that they were nothing, nobody, they had no value. And when the few would rise up and try to escape, they would torture them to the beyond and make an example of them. They treated them like animals. Understand. My God. So he would cause them to think the lies that they told to be true. In other words, it caused them to come in agreement. The lies that he said, he caused them to come in agreement with what the slave traders were saying about them because of the indoctrination. In other words, he brainwashed them and he used fear tactics. They would take women. And when they have a baby, they have a mate. They would take the man and move him to another plantation. There you see the woman raising the children by herself. What do we see in many places today? Young girls having babies out of wedlock, raising them. No vice, don't see no value in getting married. And so we see that this brainwashing was for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years. We don't know how long that this curse is affecting people, a race of people now. He told them that by killing the protective male image, it would throw the females into a frozen psychological state of dependency on the white slave traders. This is what he told them, Willie Lynch. If you kill the protective male, they have no choice but to depend on the white slave masters. This resulted in her raising her offspring into a reverse position. In other words, because she was the mother, was there raising the kids, she taught the girls how to be strong and how to be self and independent and be alpha males in the family. And then he taught the males to be weak so that they don't get killed. Understand? My God, he used reverse psychology. My God, such a demonic plan. We have to understand. What do we see today? We see strong, dominated women saying, "I don't need no man I don't need no man to raise my children. I don't need no man to pay my bills. I don't need no man for this." And it's okay to be independent, but we have to understand that the enemy has operated over women ethnic groups, over black people. This comes from the curse of Willie Lynch. We see we got males. They don't even want to work nowadays. This generation of young people understand when let me just explain something about a demon. When a demon comes into a family or into a group of people, each generation that demon gets worse and worse. We see in this generation, many, many young men don't want to work. They don't want an education. They just want to lay up and make babies and let the women take care of them. This is a mentality from Willie Lynch. He taught men to be weak and dependent. My God, we would call that the Ahab spirit. He said that the owners were to cause the young men, old men and the females to distrust each other, but to make them trust the slave masters and depend on the owners and their families, but don't trust their own family. He caused sabotage within the family. He caused a breakdown of the family unit, and we see that today the family unit is no trust. It's no trust. It's you know. There are families that will betray each other. No trust. This is a learned behavior, because if it wasn't learned, then why other cultures don't necessarily do that? And I'm not saying that some cultures don't do it, but we're talking about the black people. We don't trust nobody. You don't even trust your own family. Your own family, even today, will betray you. My God. So they caused the women to depend on the slave traders, slave owners and their families. This may be a reason why many people on welfare today. We trust the government. We trust the whites in government and go to them for help. He taught them to trust in the system, even though the system made them to be what they were. The system hated them, and yet they depended completely on the system. As a matter of fact, they brought such division. They would be to bring the lighter skin people into the house to serve them, knowing that those white, the lighter skins were a product of rape many times. But it made the ones that go in the house feel that they were better than the ones in the field. Also, this Willie Lynch wrote a book called Let's Make a Slave. My God. He actually made a book. That's why I don't care what they say. This is real. If Willie Lynch is not real, what happened is real. That's the reality. My God. Let's Make a Slave, the origin and development of a social being called the Negro. My God. In his book, Lynch outlined the methods that he used to control the slaves he owned, which placed many curses on black races. He cursed them, curses, keeping them in bondage. Even today, there are many still in spiritual bondage, as well as many people being trafficked from all types of cultures, enslaved. And it's not just the black people. We have all races of people enslaved in slavery. But this Willie Lynch, I believe they don't want us to believe that it's a reality. But the evidence is too overwhelming, too compelling. He also told the people to have their white servants and their overseers distrust all blacks. The blacks had no one to trust. It's just mind-boggling that someone was allowed to get away with this. But at the same time, all the slavery and it's just terrible. Today, with the use of drugs, the fear, distrust, envy, and murders, we can see the effects of these terrible curses playing out in not just black culture, but in many other cultures of the world. So I want to talk about Bible say about slavery. We know that there's an answer for every situation and every problem in the Bible. So does the Bible condone slavery? Does Jesus promote it? Let's find out really what the Bible says about slavery. We need to understand. We need to get the perspective of the Word of God. We need to know what the Holy Scriptures says about slavery. Amen? So let's understand. While Scripture does recognize that there is slavery, it never promotes it. God abhors slavery. When people think of slavery, they automatically think of black people. The kidnapping, slavery, and unjust treatment of African Americans back in the day is condemned in Scripture. First of all, it is condemned in Scripture. God is not in agreement with slavery. In fact, in the Bible, it is punishable by death. And nowhere in Scripture does God condone slavery because of the color of somebody's skin. God does not condone it. God is not in agreement with slavery. So all the white slave masters who said that they was upstanding and abiding Christians were a lie, were a group of satanic agents. They were tools in Satan's hand, and many of them didn't know it. But just because you don't know a thing does not mean it's not happening. Amen. In the Bible, people voluntarily sold themselves to slavery so they could receive food, water, shelter for themselves and their families. If you were poor and had no choice but to sell yourself to slavery, what would you do? First Scripture, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 39 to 42 says, if your brother with you becomes so poor that he sells himself to you, you are not to make him serve like a bond slave. A bond slave is one who serves without any pay. In other words, if your brother is so poor that he can't pay you and he sells himself to you, you still have to pay them according to Scripture. Instead, he is to serve you with like a hired servant or a traveler who lives with you until the year of Jubilee. Then he and his children with him may leave to return to his family and his ancestor inheritance, since they're my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They are not to be sold as slaves. So in other words, the year of Jubilee came around every 7 years. Every 7 years, if you were a slave to someone, you were set free. Glory to God. I guess those upstanding, abiding citizen back in the 18th century, they didn't see this in the Scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 15, keep going, verses 11 to 14. It says, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I, talking about Jehovah, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in the land. If any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year, you must let them go. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally with your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give to them as the Lord God has blessed you. You see that every 7 years they were let go, and the slaves were not to be let go empty-handed. Even a thief could become a slave to pay his debt. Exodus 22, verse 3, and it says, but if it happens after sunrise, the defender is guilty of bloodshed. Anyone who steals must certainly make restitution. But if they have nothing, they must be sold to pay for their theft. My God. So the Bible, what is the treatment of, how are slaves supposed to be treated according to the Bible? Leviticus 25:43 says, you are not to rule over them with harshness. You are to fear your God. So evidently these people that ruled over the slave trade, they had no fear of God. The slave master had no fear of God because they lent themselves as tools of unrighteousness in Satan's hands. Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord God. Have mercy on this generation, God. Have mercy on all those who are still being affected by the curse of Willie Lynch, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and 9. And it says, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Now, this is in the New Testament. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their God and yours, both their master and yours is in heaven. With God, there is no favoritism. God does not want slaves to be treated harshly if someone goes into slavery. Colossians 4 and 1. Masters, prove your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you are also have a master in heaven. So that's both in Ephesians 6 and 9 and Colossians 4 and 1 says the same scripture. Exodus 21 verses 26 to 27. And it says, we're talking about slaves. We're talking about slavery. My God. An owner who hits a male or female slave in the eye and destroys it must let the slave go free to compensate for the eye. My God. An owner who knocks out the tooth of a male or female slave must let the slave go free for the compensation of the tooth. Exodus 21 and 20. If a man beats his male or female slave with a club and the slave dies as a result, the owner must be punished. My God. Personally, I think he should eye for eye, but that's just me. Proverbs 30 and 10. Don't slander a servant to his master, or he will curse you and you will become guilty. So we see from scripture, as we go through these scriptures, God in the Bible, the scripture has specific ways how to treat a slave. If someone was so poor and they couldn't take care of themselves, God and he made provision for those who would go into slavery. So according to the Bible, are people supposed to be slaves forever? Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and it says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a remission of debts. In other words, every 7 years, you must let them go. This is the manner of remission, of forgiveness. Every creditor shall release what he has loaned to his neighbor. He shall not exact it on his neighbor and his brother, because the Lord's remission has been proclaimed. God's forgiveness. Now, if only our debtors, the ones that were our credit card companies and our bill collectors, if only they knew after 7 years to let us go. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord God. But God wanted us, anyone that was in debt, to any their neighbor after 7 years to be let free. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus chapter 21, verses 3. Now, these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve you 6 years, and in the seventh go out free and pay nothing. If he comes by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes married, then his wife shall go out with him. Now, why don't Bible critics ever read these verses that condemn the kidnapping of slaves? Why they never read this? Where it condemned slavery long ago. But they read the Bible and they opened their scripture every Sunday in those churches. But yet they glazed over these scriptures. In their mind, these scriptures didn't apply to them. I wonder where they're at now. Deuteronomy 24 and 7, if someone is caught kidnapping, let's talk about kidnapping, because we see that that's very prevalent today. You can't even walk someplace by yourself without being concerned whether a van is going to roll up on you and kidnap you. Our children, we see many incidents on the news where they try to kidnap people. But Deuteronomy 24 and 7 says, if someone is caught kidnapping a fellow Israelite and treating or selling them as a slave, the kidnapper must die. The kidnapper, God says you must purge the evil from among you. So in God's eyes, slavery, trafficking, kidnapping is evil that God wants to be purged. So in God's eye, slavery was evil then and it's evil now. And those who practice those things, if they have not been repented before they close their eyes, God will surely judge them. God is true. God cannot lie. If he said it, he means it. Amen. Hallelujah. Exodus 21 and 16. Anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death, whether the victim has been sold or is still in the kidnapper's possession. They must die. Understand, God never planned slavery and never put the curse on the black people, like they said, because of Canaan. No, that's not why it came on. Noah cursed Canaan. Understand that this curse came on us black people because of the sins of our fathers. And though they were gone, understanding these nations, they were practicing idolatry. They was practicing whoredom. They were unfaithful to God. As we read the scripture, we see the Israelites, they were unfaithful to God. Many times they were put in slavery. They were put in slavery in Babylon. They was in slavery to Egypt. They was in slavery because of sin and rebellion against God. Understand, God has no respect of a person. God says wherever he's going to judge sin, wherever it is found. First Timothy verses 1 9 to 10. Understand the fact that the law is not enacted for the righteous person, the one in right standing with God, but for lawlessness and rebellious people, for the ungodly, the sinful, for the irreverent and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for sexual immoral persons, for homosexuals, for kidnappers and slave traders. That's the amplified version. For liars, for perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. So the law was made for kidnappers and slave traders. My God. Understand this, that God never condoned slavery. The door was open because of sin. The door was open and the enemy used it as the opportunity to try to wipe out a whole ethnic group of people. But this is not the first time. My God, Jesus. Christianity and the Bible does not condone slavery. It solves it. When we become a Christian, we are not going to want slavery to exist. When you are a real Christian, you are not going to want to put nobody in slavery, no kind of way, whether it's physical or spiritually. This is why it was Christians who fought to end slavery and get equal rights for all Christians. Philemon 1:16 says, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and 4, and it says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are not to put people in bondage. Glory to God. Romans 13:8-10. Let no debt remain outstanding except continued debt to love one another. Hallelujah. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor. If they had love, they would never have been slavery. Love does not harm, does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. God cares for slaves and makes sure that they were not abused. Slavery was absolutely the work of the kingdom of darkness. But once again, we're going to go back to the beginning. Proverbs 26:2 says, like the sparrow in her wandering, like the swallow in her flying, so the curse without a cause does not come, and a lion on the undeserving. So if it was a curse that came upon the black race, it was deserving because of sin. I want you to understand, for this curse to still be in operation, there must be altered. So we're going to do a prayer before we close out to deal with this curse once and for all in the name of Jesus. I want us to understand, it is not God. God desires that all would be saved and none would be lost. God was not God's desire to abuse and hurt the black race of people. That was not God's intent. We have to understand that the Bible says that our sin separates us from God. You have to understand during the time when slavery in the 1800s and the 1700s, that they were there, just like today, there are many people that are worshiping idols. God hates idols. God hates idolatry. He calls it whoredom. He hates whoredom. Many were practicing idols and idol worshipers, and they were worshiping other deities. We have to understand this. So we have to deal with that. We must deal with altars and sacrifices that are still speaking concerning this curse today. And in order to see people still operating out of this mentality, we have to understand that there's an altar in the spirit that needs to be torn down. You need to go for your family. I'm going to say a corporate prayer, but I want you to take this prayer and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to pray through you for your family, for your young men in your family, for your daughters, so that they can stop having babies, so that their curse would not come down, because truly it is a curse. We see the effects of Willie Lynch in today's society. Countless numbers of young girls having baby after baby with the dads leaving them. These young men having babies, they don't care about being a dad because their spirit, because of what Willie Lynch program to the thing, just to be a stud, just to be drop seed and leave it. But this is not God's plan for their life. We must stop it. We must break it. Our young men must be in family. Women got to know, they got to learn to trust a man again and have a family. They need to understand that they value that. Our young girls need to know that they more than just baby making machines. They need to wait. It's so much to this I could say, but I just want us to pray. My God, God, we just thank you. We must remove the sacrifice and silence the voice of the curse that's speaking and burn the altar to ashes. First of all, let's repent. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we put the light of your word upon this curse, Lord God. We put the light of the Holy Ghost upon this curse, Father. Father God, we repent for the sins of our forefathers, Lord God, all the way across the waters that opened the door to slavery. We repent for the sin of idolatry. We repent for the sin of perversion. We repent for the sin of human sacrifice. We repent for the sin of iniquity. We repent for the sins, Lord God, everything, God, that opened the door, Lord God, to slavery. We repent and we ask you to forgive us, oh God. Lord God, we ask you to wash our bloodlines with the blood of Jesus. Purge us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Wash our bloodline, God. Give us clean hands and a pure heart in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we repent for every altar, Lord God, that was resurrected, Father God, on behalf that would, that opened the door to slavery. Lord God, we break the assignment of the sacrifice, Father God. We come against the keeper of the sacrifice, Father. Every demon that's holding that sacrifice, God, on the altar, that's still burning incense on the altar to that sacrifice. Oh, God, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We break down. We remove the sacrifice from the altar in the name of Jesus. We mute every altar, every sacrifice that's speaking, Lord God, today with the blood of Jesus. And we burn the altar, every demonic altar, to ashes in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I pray today, God, Lord God, and we raise in our families, we raise godly altars of prayer and fasting, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we repent for every open door in the name of Jesus. We repent for every demonic altar that was erected and the blood that was spilled upon those altars in the name of Jesus. We silence every voice of every sacrifice that was placed once again on these altars in the mighty name of Jesus. We break every legal right the devil has to our family because of this curse. We silence the curse with the blood of Jesus. We break the curse of Willie Lynch off of me, my bloodline, going all the way back to the beginning. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of Willie Lynch off of every male in my bloodline, on my father's side, on my mother's side, all the way back to the beginning. I break the curse of Willie Lynch off of my mother's side, all the women in my family, on both sides, all the way back, in the name of Jesus. I bind and rebuke the curse of being trafficked. I bind and rebuke fear. I bind and rebuke torture, rape, pedophilia, distrust, abuse, male weakness. We bind and rebuke male weakness. We decree and declare that our males are strong. Lord God, they have the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we decree and declare that our young men today, God, that they know who they are in Christ. Oh God, Holy Ghost, visit every young man, Lord God, and let them know who they are in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke the spirit of female dominance. Oh, God, let the young women know who they are in you, God, in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke the spirit of welfare. Oh, God, poverty, lack, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Poor nutrition, we come against in the name of Jesus. We come against, Lord God, even our young women selling their bodies because of this curse. We bind and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We come against the domestic violence in the black families in the name of Jesus. We come against black racism in the black community. Bind and rebuke you. We cancel your assignment in the name of Jesus. We come against the curse of going to jail. Lord, the revolving door of jail, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we come against the spirit of lynching and mobbing and hanging in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke your assignment. We cancel it today by the blood of Jesus. We call forth the wrath of God upon every satanic wicked power that refuse to leave our young people alone, that we refuse to leave the black race alone in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke the spirit of sodomy. Many of our young men were slaves and they were raped, Lord God, back then. So that spirit is traveling down and many of our black men don't know whether they woman or man, but in the name of Jesus, we break that sodomite spirit off of them today. We bind and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I call forth the vengeance of God upon every stubborn spirit that refused to leave the lives of our young men and women today in the name of Jesus. We come against and bind and rebuke the spirit of single parent homes in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let every parent, Lord God, let two-parent homes be raised in the black community in the name of Jesus. They have a right to have a family just like anybody else. We plead the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we pray once and for all, Lord God, that every devil and demon, Lord God, be loosed from a demonic assignment. I command you to be a part of Jesus' footstool in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, you said in Proverbs 6:31, Yet when he is found out talking about the thief, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all his substance of his house. We command everything that has been taken from the black race, self-esteem, value, acceptance. We break the legal right of all the enemies doing in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare self-esteem for black people, Lord, value, Lord God, acceptance, wholeness, restoration, peace of mind. We rebuke every schizophrenic spirit that have been passed down through the generation. We come against fear, torment, slander, accusation, every lying spirit in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we come against self-sabotaging spirits. I bind and rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Take your hand off our young people in the name of Jesus. Take your hand off the black race in the name of Jesus. No matter where they be, whether they be in the islands, whether they be in Africa, whether they be in wherever they are, take your hand in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I thank you, Jesus. I command the curse to be broken off of them right now in the name of Jesus. I command the demons to go to the abyss or wherever Jesus sends in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare complete restoration, a new beginning for the race, oh God, a new beginning for families in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, everything that the enemy has placed on them, that's a lie, we strip it off today in the name of Jesus. Lord God, our young men don't have to sell drugs to make a living in the name of Jesus. They could get a good job in the name of Jesus. Our young women don't have to be on no stripper pole, Father. They can have a make a good living in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we come against that young low self-esteem by the power of the blood of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you, Jesus. Hedobo shanda de rabosa. Hayarabo shanda de ramakasi, Lord God. And we curse the spirit of Jim Crow in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of Jim Crow. Lord God, we come against that spirit that will want black people to be second-class citizens, that they're not even good enough to sit in the company of white people. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus against the altars of Jim Crow in the name of Jesus. We rip the sacrifice off the altar. God, and you said, suffer not a witch to live. Let every priest and priestess that's offering sacrifices on these altars die in the name of Jesus. We command him to die in the name of Jesus. He called up my son of the rabosi. Let them die, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we come against every law, Lord, every law that's not of you, God, that's speaking against the black race. Oh God, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We tear it down in the spirit. Oh God, release your wrath upon the enemies of our soul today, God. Let the enemies of our soul, God, receive the wrath of God. Oh, God, release your vengeance on every demonic spirit that would bring separation in humanity, because all souls are you, God. You created every color for your glory. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus, that you made us a rainbow of colors, God, for your glory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father God. So we plead the blood of Jesus against every Jim Crow law that's still in place, oh God. We tear down the altar. We mute the voice, God. We plead the blood of Jesus against every voice that's speaking, Lord God, and we break the curse of Jim Crow and cast out any related demon by the blood of Jesus. We cast out every related demon to Willie Lynch in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I advise you to pray with your family and continue until you see change in your family, because enough is enough. Father God, we thank you that your promises are yea and amen. We thank you that we know that you said in 1 John 5:14, if we pray according to your will, you hear us. And if you hear us, we have the petition that we request in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for delivering us, oh God. Thank you for your revelation concerning this issue, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I thank you that the enemy has been beat down once again, Father. Thank you, God, that it is clear, Lord God, according to your scriptures, according to your holy scriptures, that you see slavery in the Bible, Lord God, that it was not what they made it out to be. God, we thank you. Slave traders are considered lawless and associated with murderers. Understanding. Slave traders are and were considered lawless and associated with murders, homosexual, and immoral people. God shows no favoritism. Watch out for liars who try to pick a verse out of the Bible to say you see the Bible promotes slavery. That is a lie from the pit of hell, which came straight from Satan. Understand, the only slave you are is if you are without Christ Jesus, you are a slave to sin if you're not a Christian. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you today, God. I pray that you got some understanding out of this teaching. I pray that you would take this teaching and that you would listen to it again and that you would help our young men and women in your life to see that they were made for greatness. It was Satan's plan to steal, kill, and destroy their destinies. But I thank God that God has a purpose and destiny. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of good and not evil, to bring you to expected end. The only one who has thoughts of evil against you is Satan, and we cannot let him win. Understand that we have been given power. Luke 10:19 says that God says that I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. It is up to us to take the revelation that was given us and wage an effective warfare for our families, for our communities, so that change will happen. When anytime God brings revelation, it's because God is ready to see the change happen. It has a purpose. This teaching has a purpose for the black race. Hallelujah. So until our next program, may God continuously bless you, increase you, and enlarge you. May his face continuously shine upon you and your loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're worthy of it all.